The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom their master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known of what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is God's good pleasure to give to you His kingdom. It is God's good pleasure to give to you His kingdom. Full stop. That's what God wants to do. That's what makes God happy. But. And there's always a but. Are we there to receive it? This is what Christ is challenging us as His followers today. To receive what God is more than happy to offer to His followers. It would be as if Bill Gates was downtown handing out $100 bills. Well, if you're in your backyard pushing a lawnmower, you're not going to get one. But nevertheless, that's what's happening downtown. Sometimes you have to get off the couch, get out of the backyard, and show up. And this is Christ's challenge to us today. To show up. To get on board to this great thing God is doing. So what is it, according to Christ in today's Gospel reading, that stands in our way of sharing this beautiful, this eternal, this non-tarnishing gift that is the kingdom of God? What stands in our way from enjoying that? From sharing this great pleasure, this great reward that Christ has won for us. Stuff. We all know what stuff is. We have houses full of stuff. We have drawers crammed with stuff. We have garages brimming out the door with stuff. We have stuff everywhere. Now sometimes we use nice words for it. Knickknacks. Mementos. Memories. But often we call it what it is. Junk. Oh, that, it's in the junk drawer. Oh, please don't look at my basement, it's just filled with junk. It's amazing how much junk we can collect. How much stuff can clutter our lives. Over the course of our marriage, Laura Lee and I have had the opportunity to move many times. And every time we start packing up the boxes and going to those closets we tend to ignore in those dark corners of the basement that we often do not tread, we find more and more stuff. Some stuff surprises us. Like, why did I save that? Some stuff surprises our spouse. Like, why did he or she save that? But most of the stuff we do not use, most of the stuff we do not need, and we're certainly not willing to pack it and hump it up the basement stairs. So off the stuff goes. Some we can give away. Some we can sell. Some goes to charity. And some, unfortunately, goes to the landfill. Stuff. Some stuff we collect, we have greater purposes for, noble purposes for. This stuff represents something beyond ourselves. This stuff we often call projects. Those dirty work 2x4s and cindercrete blocks in the backyard? That's not junk. That's a deck waiting to happen. That leaky transmission from a 72 El Camino in the garage? That's not an eyesore. That's not scrap. That's a hot rod in the making. Junk holds a special place in our life. So how does this stuff, according to Christ, stand in the way of our receiving this gift, the kingdom of heaven, that God so happily wants to bestow on us? Well, it comes back to sinfulness. Our pursuit of treasures, our pursuit of accumulation of things, of stuff, can often be a sinful pursuit. We often find ourselves saying to ourselves, what things do I need to make me happy? What things will make others think better of me? What things can I have that other people don't have? And we start to chase stuff. We go in debt for stuff. We might steal stuff. All to accumulate this stuff. These treasures. These things that we feel we can't be without. I need a new TV. I need a new car. I need a new lawnmower. I need. But when we focus on our pursuits, when we focus on stuff, when we focus on having the newest, the latest, the greatest, the shiniest, the biggest, when we focus on these things, our hearts turn inward. We start to focus on ourselves. What do I want? What will make me happy? What things will bring joy and pleasure to my life? And when our hearts turn inward, according to Martin Luther, that's the definition of sin. For when our hearts are inward, when we're turned on our own needs, our own gratification, our own selves, then we're not looking at the needs of our neighbor, and we're certainly not turned towards God. And that is how we miss this great treasure that God is so happy to give us. Not even happy to give us. God wants to give us this. But if we don't show up, if we don't turn ourselves to God, then we find it going right by us. We might think we're unique in this regard, that we live in a consumer culture. We have billboards on the streets. We have ads in newspapers. We have television commercials. We have radio ads all telling us to buy, buy, buy. A bigger TV, a shinier car, a newer home, a better vacation somewhere. Buy, buy, buy. But Christ's time wasn't any different. People then wanted stuff. Nicer clothes, nicer homes, more convenience, more prestige. This is tied to human nature. This is tied to a sinful human nature. And so Christ makes an important point. A point that can be hard to hear. A point that's definitely hard to live. But Christ makes the point, all this stuff, cars, televisions, clothes, homes, all this stuff tarnishes. All of this stuff fades. None of this stuff is eternal. It will not last. Today's newest, best 80-inch plasma TV will someday be tomorrow's black and white TV. Houses crumble. Cars rust. But God is eternal. God's kingdom is eternal. Nothing can take it away. A tornado can't blow it down. Salt will not oxidize it. And the bank cannot repossess it. For the kingdom of God has been won for us by Jesus Christ. It is an eternal gift. It is eternal salvation. And it cannot be taken. This is reason for great joy. This is reason for great celebration. This is also good news. Because it frees us from the pursuit of stuff. It frees us from this idea that our happiness is tied to the stuff that we accumulate. The things that fill our drawers and crowd our basements and stuff our garages and fill our backyards. That our true joy, our true treasure, is not these things, are not the shiny things, are not the new things, are not the things that make the world go ooh and ah. But our true treasure is our treasure in heaven. To us, Christ says, very carefully and very pointedly, do you own your stuff, or does your stuff own you? Not all stuff brings happiness. I'm reminded in my own life, when I was younger, I really wanted a boat. I wanted to go fishing. Couldn't afford much of a boat, though. But my friend found a boat. It was about $400. And it didn't sink. Nor did it start. And they say that there's two happy days in owning a boat. The day you buy the boat and the day you sell the boat. I remember my friend and I were so happy about this boat that he had purchased. And we went to Long Lake, gonna go fishing, and we pulled that engine about 500 times. My arm is still longer on this end after pulling that boat. My friend worked all summer to buy that boat. He put everything he had into that boat. At the end of our day at the lake, we put it back in the trailer, took it home, and sold the boat. The boat didn't last. The happiness didn't last. And I'm sure in everyone's lives, we chased things that we thought would bring us happiness, things we thought would make us complete. If I just had this, my problems would go away. Well, that's not the case. Christ knows that. And Christ graciously offers us a different vision. A different vision of happiness, a different vision of security. Our security comes not in the things that we possess, not in what others think of us, but our security comes in the love of God. In the knowledge that God just isn't happily giving us the kingdom, but that God has won for us the kingdom. That God has named us as His children, and that God desires to live with us until eternity. And this is the good news of the gospel for us. That we are not measured by the words of the world. We are not measured by the things that we have. But we are measured as being children of God. And God thinks so highly of us. God's love for us is so deep that God came into this world and suffered and died for us.